This incident of the walking on the sea in Matthew, Mark, and John follows right after the multiplication of the loaves. The Lord is showing his disciples his power over the bread, over food, and over the powers of the universe. But also, he's revealing himself in a way. He let them go on purpose because he had something else he wanted to show them, reveal them. So he came walking on the water. And when he got near them, he said, "Take courage." Now, there's no way for us to translate, even in English or in Greek for that matter, what is being said here. He's being said, "I am." It's a revelation of his divinity here. "I am." Anihu, probably in Hebrew or Aramaic. This is very important. You see, he's trying to prepare them with such conviction that after the resurrection, when they're filled with conviction, they can preach, okay? Now, only Mark makes the next remark, and I think it's very significant. They hadn't understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. And that's the reason why they were so astounded by all the rest. While they were afraid, and then he got into the boat and the wind died down, and they were completely astounded. Why? Because they hadn't understood the incident of the loaves. Why? Because their hearts were hardened. Now that's a lot of work we're not going to do all this morning, but the other work we have to let the Lord do, that's a lifetime. But in other words, they didn't get what the loaves and the multiplication was all about. Now, it just so happens that in Mark's gospel, we're in a section where every incident has something, almost every, has something to do with arthos, with bread, loaf. It's in this section that we might have it. To eat bread with unwashed hands, or it's not right to take the bread of the children and throw it to the dog. Bread, 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 bread. Called the bread section. Why? And then finally, they didn't understand about the bread. This is in chapter 6. In chapter 8, after the other incident of the multiplication of the loaves, and they're going along in a boat again, they had no bread, they had no artos, one loaf with them except one. One. That's Jesus. And so they... He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And they thought he meant, "Gosh, he's mad. We've only got one loaf of bread with us." And so he started to explain. "When there were 5,000 and I multiplied, how many baskets did you pick up? When there were 4,000 and I multiplied the loaves, how many baskets did you pick up? Do you still not see? Are your hearts still hardened? Seeing, you don't see, and hearing," the very words he said to the outsiders. Now, what can we learn from this? Understanding comes through a soft heart. How do you get your heart soft? You obey God day by day and as far as you can, minute by minute. And he softens your heart. That's the only way. And that, of course, is almost what the first reading is telling us, okay? First, if God so loved us, we must also love one another. Well, now, how are we going to get clear about God's love for us? Sit down and think about it. Just sit down and say, you know, there really is a God. He's enormous. He's the creator of the world. And we have rebelled against, never mind poor old Adam, look what I've done. And he came and died to give me eternal life. And think about this. I don't remember if you remember, I do. Oh, it was when we were going on vacation down at the beach. Oh, whatever that place is. Anyhow, I was sitting on the beach one day, and the Lord said to me, I want you to ask yourself this question. What happened when that man died? It so struck me that for about 2 years I worked on it every day. I read all the passion narratives. I prayed. What happened when that man died? You know, the liberation, the light, the power, the breaking of the power of Satan. It happened. What happened when that man died? But to get there, I had to keep giving up one darn sin after another, which is the whole point. And so you see, here we have the same thing. You see, if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love, finally, is brought to perfection in us. Loving one another is the way to get over a hard heart. And if we don't have a hard heart, we're going to understand. It's kind of simple, right? But loving one another is simple, but it's not easy. Why? Because we're egomaniacs. We're making judgments about one another all the time inside. We get angry with one another all the time. We don't love. And the Lord is saying, look, you yield to my Holy Spirit, and you will be astonished. You will be astonished. This is how we know that we remain in him. And he in us. Ooh, I'd like to know that. Okay. He has given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you that. He'll show you that. He'll give you an awareness of that. You see? Moreover, we have seen and testify that his Father, that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. And whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And now we have a beautiful line. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. What does that mean? I know the Lord loves me, and when things are tough, I believe it. It's like a marriage. You know your husband or your wife loves you, that's fine, but then something happens and you have to kind of believe it. Well, it's kind of like that with God. Believe it. Do something with it. And so then we go on. God is love. We had this the other day too, yesterday. God is love. And whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in him. Love, love, love. That's hard to do because we're such egomaniacs. To love, to forgive, to care, to be compassionate, to reach out first to one another. That's why God likes us to live in communities. Then we get a chance to practice love. How am I going to love everybody I pass on the street I can pray for? I don't know them. They've never bothered me. But that's what community is all about, right? When the Cistercians started their reform of the Benedictines, they said that they were forming a scola caritatis, a school of love. That's what they were going to do. You see? Whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. Do you see how this word of God and this whole letter, the word of God, love? That's a tremendous discipline. It's not only restraining anger and judgmentalness and so forth, it's going out. It's going out. And so, you see, well, what's the fruit of all this work? There's no fear in love. Understand? There's no fear in love. If we try, What happens is we come to know the affection of Jesus Christ for us. And then there's no fear. There's no fear that I'm afraid of God. The fear is I might offend him. I might offend God. I might sin. I might do something really stupid and bad. And I don't want that. So we pray. Philip Neri used to say every day to the Lord, "Keep your hand on Philip, Lord, or Philip will betray you." Smart man.